Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, April 4th, 2022, and this is episode 247 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. We're coming to you live on Facebook, and this is our 2022 season preview, and can you believe it, Willie? Season 12 of the TortureCast, a podcast that you started way back in 2011, and yeah, that's the voice you hear there is Willie Dills Gregory coming in. How you doing, man?
I'm good, dude. Sorry I don't have a cam today, everybody who's watching live, but we're switching computers. We're upgrading significantly, which is exciting. It's mostly due to gaming. That's really the big reason. This computer that I've been using for the last 7-8 years, something like that, just doesn't run the new freshest games very crisply. So it's time to make an upgrade. So, yeah, I'm on a little laptop right now. We're winging it. We're making it happen. But the season is just snuck up on us. We got to get our predictions in. We got to do our 2022 season preview episode. It's going to be a really fun year. I'm super excited. I've been watching a lot of spring training. More than usual, actually. I usually don't watch, like, any spring training. I watch maybe some highlights, you know. I've actually gone back and watched full games. I had to watch the 10-2 Giants beating the Dodgers, of course.
Of course. That was a sweet game.
Yeah, that was just too fun. I've been really liking the look of the youngsters that we have. Like you said in the pre-show to me, Chad, we haven't really seen a lot of Belt, Crawford, you know, the guys who we know are going to be out there. Yeah. But we're getting a good look at some guys who maybe will be here in a couple years or maybe even later this year. Who knows?
Hey, look, you know, 107 wins last year. It's going to be hard to top that. The future looks bright for these guys. I think there's some, you know, swings and misses that the Giants took this offseason. Obviously, we didn't get a very big right-handed bat. But, you know, the way Farhan and company operate, they don't go for the big splash. And look at, you know, we talked about this last show with Eric. You know, Chris Bryant, $187 million, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, we're not doing,
like,
that.
Come on, man. That's just, yeah. You know, the way he operates is like, you know, I kind of think of it as like war per dollar, right? And he has one of the best war per dollar return rates ever. And a war per dollar for Chris Bryant is shitty. I'm sorry. It's just,
yeah,
it's just shitty, you know? So he's going to say, okay, I know three guys that I can get for 10% of the cost, maybe 20% of the cost, that will basically equate to a Chris Bryant. And in terms of war, and that's the way he does it. And look what the Giants did last year. I mean, they led the league in wins and in home runs and things that we had no idea were going to happen. And I think that's what's so exciting about this year, because there are a lot of promising things, including having one of the best starting rotations, on at least on paper, that we've had in quite some time.
Well, at least one through five. We don't have.
Well, that's true.
We don't technically have an established ace, right? But we do have potential aces and a guy who literally threw a no-hitter like last year. So.
Right?
Yeah.
No, there's a
By
lot
the
of
way,
question marks.
Chris Bryant, but, though, know. I think his war will be pretty good in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. His war in Colorado is going to be definitely higher than it was, you know, would be anywhere else. This is like,
how do you make sure that you have Hall of Fame stats? Let's sign a long-term contract to Colorado. As a hitter.
Well, you know, we talked about this, and he was like, okay, I already won the 2016 World Series with the Cubs, right? Rookie of the Year, the whole thing. I mean, he's got so many accolades. He's a you know, whatever, five-time All-Star, four-time All-Star. Yeah. He's going to make more All-Star teams with Colorado. I don't think he gives a shit about winning another World Series. I really don't.
Yeah. He wants to get paid, and he gets to live in Denver. I mean, come on. It's fine.
Nah, he's a Las Vegas boy.
I liked him, though. I liked him, but I knew – as soon as the season was over, I was like, this is not we might do a trade for a guy like him again halfway yeah. through the year, depending on what's going on. But yeah, the pickups that we did do were exactly the type of ones that I expected to happen. A lot of 2-year contracts, a lot of like 1 year with an option. Like this is just how this team's gonna get built, you know, forever, pretty much.
It's their 2024 or 2025 payroll. What they have at least committed to the books is already like the third lowest in the major leagues, right? Yeah, it's like 44 million. So, I mean, again, he loves to operate like this, and he's got so much success with the A's, the Dodgers, and now the Giants. So, you know, and Farhan we trust. And I know there's a lot of mm-hmm. people who still kind of, you know, bag him for a lot of things, not having the big splashy signing. But I mean, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, yeah, granted, he doesn't have a World Series championship with the Giants yet. That's all Sabian and company. But, you know, he certainly has proved his worth in the regular season. But speaking of the regular season, like you said, holy shit, it just came around the corner so fast. Even though we should be in a normal season right now, it's coming up this Friday against Miami at home. It's incredible. It's like, wow, we're going to not have fake baseball, practice baseball here in a few days.
Yeah, it's going to be legit. The camera angles will be real again. I don't know how much you've watched spring training, but it throws me off just because it's very clear that the camera is like much lower than the one that that you get when you have a regular season game. Like the second baseman's always in the shot. You're like, get out of the shot, bro. or the shortstop, I mean. But anyway, yeah, it's Friday. And yeah, we would have started the season against San Diego, correct?
Right. Okay. Yes, correct.
But now it's very strange to be starting the season against Miami. Like, what? All right.
Yeah, it's very strange because, you know, obviously with the CBA and the lockout, they start the season a week late. So they're just picking up right now where the schedule would have been. So this would have been their home opener after their first road trip of 6 games or whatever. So that's just where it is. And so the Giants traditionally open on the road, and they have since 2007, I believe, is what we established last. They can put in requests, basically, and the Giants always want to start on the road, partially because of the weather, and then partially because they like to end the season at home for their giveaways and the good weather in San Francisco in September and October. And so, obviously, this is kind of a weird kink in the season. That, you know, all the teams are going to have to face multiple doubleheaders, like around 8 or 9 doubleheaders this year. They're going to have these weird, like, one game series where they're flying over. They're like, oh, hey, there's Milwaukee. Let's stop there for a game. And then they take off and go back home, you know. It's going to be really weird. But, you know, whatever. All the teams have to deal with this. It's going to be fewer off days and what have you. But, you know, the Giants, in terms of spring training, no one cares about their, you know, their record. I see on social media a lot of people still do, for some weird reason, get upset when the Giants lose a spring training game. I still don't understand that.
I mean, spring training, you watch the first like 2 or 3 innings and then you move on with your life.
Yeah, it's a bunch of guys that are not going to be on the team. You know, I don't. They have scheduled pitching, you know, 1 inning, 2 innings each, that kind of thing. It's no matter what the score is. So it's never a real game situation. I don't know why the results matter so much to people. That said, you do still look for, you know, I guess silver linings and sparks of hope.
You look at like what guys who were question marks in your mind, what they do with the time that they get, because like, you know, like you said, it's a lot of guys who are just getting, you know, it's the managers just seeing what they're capable of, what it is that they can bring to the team, and they're making evaluations and potential roster moves. But yeah, a guy like Crawford, we know where he's going to be. Brandon Belt, we know where he's going to be. We don't really need to test them, right? So they're there mostly to get reps in and you know, just kind of work with the team, get ready for the season. The other guys are out there trying to get a roster spot. So these are the guys that you're kind of looking at. And there's been some very promising things.
Yeah, Joey Bart, which is – he's so interesting. He's got, 109 career major league at-bats, mm-hmm. no home runs, right?
Yeah.
But he's got all sorts of home runs in the minor leagues and all sorts of home runs in spring training. In fact, he leads the team – in spring training home runs with 3 and RBI at 7. He's hitting .412. It's weird that over 100 at bats, he hasn't hit a single home run, but you know what? I think that's a lock this year, Willie, don't you think? I mean, because he's going to be on the starting roster for the entire year. He's going to have at least one home run this year. Yeah, that's a hot take right here. That's a hot take.
Yeah, that's a real hot take. I actually, when we were doing our predictions, I was trying to find, like, where I could find a surprise. Like, this is a, you know, a dark horse pick.
Yeah.
And I was thinking team leader in home runs. If you pick Joey Bart there, that would be a really interesting one. The thing is, though, I just don't think he gets as many at-bats as, you know, because he will platoon a little bit with Casale.
He's going to, with Casale, exactly.
But he's going to get a significant amount. And if he actually, you know, proves himself to be a strong hitter, which he clearly has the ability, then, you know, he's got big shoes to fill, obviously. But suppose he retired, he's the, you know, the anointed one in a lot of people's minds. He's the prospect that most people are excited about. He's a big boy. Very powerful. And also, I will say this. I was watching the Giants put out on their YouTube channel a little short video of all of the catchers doing some of their work in spring training. And, you know, you got, like, Bailey in there. Casale was there, obviously. But it was very clear watching it. I think it was Brett Auerbach. Is the other guy that we got? How's that? I can't remember the other guy.
Yeah, anyway. he was cut or sent down. I should say,
But Trump was there. Yeah. So anyway, it was you know, all those guys kind of like working on stuff. They're working on like things like framing pitches, which is like a new big thing that everybody's really focused on and stuff, and also like digging out pitches. So they were like throwing things at him, like this is what, you know, Dubon's slider is going to look like, you know, or Rodon's slider, excuse me. Going to look like, so you need to be ready for that. But it was very clear watching all of the catchers, Bart looked the most like a big leaguer out of all of them. Like, he just had the look, and he was just kind of like naturally good at stuff. So I think not only as a hitter are should we be excited, I think we should be excited about him defensively. He's got a lot of ability back there, so I really think this could be the season where he, you know, solidifies himself as the future for the Giants at the catcher position.
Well, they invested a lot in him, and, you know, obviously a high draft pick. And, you know, they took Patrick Bailey a couple of years ago as their top pick as well. And a lot of people question that. They're like, why are you taking another catcher? You already got Buster Posey. Yeah. Then you got, you know, Joey Bart, and you got Casale and Trump and all these other guys. And it was kind of more the best player left on the field. Kind of thing when you're doing a fantasy draft. And, you know, if that's true, fine. If not, maybe they were, you know, holding it close to the vest and they realized that Buster Posey may not have been long to play. And obviously he's not, he wasn't. And Joey Bart, you know, he still hasn't proven himself. So, you know, maybe it's an insurance policy because Patrick Bailey has, you know, looked pretty good in spring training, even though he's not going to be on the team this year.
Unless you land a Yadier, like, catchers aren't really like guys.
Catchers are hard. They're usually the indispensable ones, right? They have the shortest careers in the major leagues. Period. You know, for obvious reasons. So, it's a hard position to fill. It really is. It's certainly for a long period of time.
It's also really nice to be able to have a few that you feel really good about, and then they could be interchangeable parts. And now with the DH, if you got one guy who's a great hitter, that guy can still get at bats even when he's not in the squad. So
for sure,
I think it's fine. Pick all the catchers you want. Let's go. Give me pitchers and catchers. You know, everybody else, we can find those.
Well, and you know, despite my despisement of the DH in the National League, I do recognize the value in what you just said. You know, you can definitely plug and play a lot more guys into that spot. And you know, the Giants are definitely a non-traditional team. I mean, a lot of National League teams are going to be non-traditional, because American League is so, you know, structured into having one DH, right? Yeah. Like a Nelson Cruz is like, that's your DH every game. It's like, no, National League is specifically in the Giants. There's going to be probably like 10 or 12 DHs this year. Well, I mean, to be honest.
Our entire team is basically one large platoon.
Exactly.
The outfield for sure. And now a lot of the infield as well. I mean, outside of your Crawford, your Crawford's in your belts. Pretty much, but even those, you know, those can be platooned fairly decently this season as well. We got a lot of options, a lot of moving parts, and a lot of ability to stack the lineup lefty or righty, depending on who we're facing.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Good place to be. I mean,
analytics, the way the Giants roll.
Well, and a lot of 28 guys, players, right? So 28 players.
Yeah, they're going to
season.
For all of April, it's going to be 28 players as opposed to 26, which, of course, was the increase from the natural or traditional 25.
Yeah.
So really, it's like three extra players they're getting for the first month of April. And this is to account for the impacted schedule, the late start, you know, blah, blah, blah. So
I think most teams are probably going to be carrying extra pitching.
Yeah, because there's no limit on the pitchers. Yeah. Exactly. So a lot of, you know, young guys did well this spring. Luis Gonzalez, 10 for 21. Archimedes Gamboa, he's a shortstop, also had three bombs. Alex Blandino, 9 for 21, two bombs. Not a whole lot of regulars, like Willie said in the beginning. Not a lot of the regulars are getting, you know, reps. Obviously, Longoria is hurt. Belt was hurt, and he just kind of started playing. Crawford hasn't gotten a lot of at-bats, but
Lamont Wade is also hurt, right?
Wade is hurt. Lestel has only had four at-bats. Yeah. You know, it goes on and on. Wilmer Flores is one of the few regulars that, you know, he has 17 at-bats, 353, no problem.
Duggar, 21 at-bats.
Yaz is, I know he's not doing very well, but again, you know, whatever. He's hitting 231 and 13 at-bats. So again, whatever. It's, you know, small sample size. Yeah. But the starting rotation, again, spring training goes both ways, right? You can look at it from the lens of like, well, that's not very many at-bats. The sample size is low, whatever. So I'm not trying to flip on that. But at the same time, the starting rotation has been fantastic. Rodon, six innings pitched, one earned run, three hits. Wood, 10 innings pitched, two earned runs, seven hits. Webb, he had a bit of a rough start with a couple of bombs, but nine innings, eight hits, five earned runs. Disco, 7.2, eight hits, one earned run. And then Cobb, 7 1/3, five hits, one earned run. But the good thing about Cobb is that he's averaged 92 to 93 miles per hour on his fastball in his career. He went to driveline in the offseason, and he worked on a lot of mechanics and exercises and conditioning. And he came out, and he's been averaging 95, 96, and topping 97 for the spring. And I don't know if that's sustainable or not, but, I mean, anytime you can get a pitcher to increase his velocity 2, 3, 4 miles per hour, we'll take it. You know, he's not a bad pitcher. So I think there's a lot of potential there, aside from injury potential, if he's throwing harder. If he's throwing 96, you know, 97 in a game, I mean, Jesus Christ, that's not going to do anything but improve his performance.
Yeah, he's 34. It's weird to, you know, suddenly have an increase in velocity at that age.
I know, right? But that's the whole sports science these days, right?
Yeah, you're
getting shit out of guys, you know, if they haven't done certain things. You know, it's like tapping untapped.
But these were some of the things that I was thinking about too when we made some of the pickups that we did. So, you know, a lot of people were really excited about Jock Peterson, and I was like, well, let me look at his stats.
Yeah.
His real stats. And he's a very streaky guy.
Very streaky.
Yeah. We all know that he's had some really good postseasons, so that's a good sign. But I also think that if you take him and you give him the Brandon Crawford treatment, which is, hey, sit on this pitch, we have the stats here to back this up. You'll probably see this pitch in this situation, and just try to launch one. I think he will do really well with that mindset here, because forever he's always been a guy who just has incredible power, but I think in a lot of situations he's not a contact guy, right? So. Yeah. But if you give him that kind of Crawford treatment, which is like, okay, let's change your whole approach. You know, you're up there, you're just playing a guessing game, and we will help you with the guessing game. You know, you're gonna find your pitches a lot more, and I think he's got the potential to, you know, to do that with what you talk about, like this kind of sports science, this modern sports science that the Giants have adopted so well. So I think it's guys like Cobb, guys like Peterson. We're gonna see some of these guys get these performances that we didn't expect out of them.
So Tyler Rogers is probably the only blip in the radar that kind of looked up at me and said, hey, he's given up 11 hits and 2 1/3. And look, again, we know what he's done. He's established himself as that specialty righty submariner. I'm not too worried about it, but it's just unusual. You know, I mean, that's, you know, and I haven't read or seen anything, you know, basically pointing to why this may have happened. Like, is he working on a specific pitch? And he just threw it over and over and over again, no matter what the result is. Because sometimes these established veterans who know they're on the team, right? They're not trying to make a team. That gives them the opportunity to experiment. And so maybe that's what's going on. Now, if he went in and he's just doing Tyler Rogers things and he's not adjusting anything, I mean, obviously that's a concern. But, you know, he's going to be on the team. And, you know, we'll see how the season starts. But Tyler Rogers, not really last year, but in previous years, was very subject to these streaks where he'd be money with that Frisbee slider for, you know, 12 appearances in a row because he, you know, leads the team in appearances every year. And then he'd just go through a bad rut, you know, and he'd give up three bombs in three appearances. And that's what happens when that thing floats, you know, it happens. So, you know, maybe that's what's going on in spring training and he's just working on it. But, you know, not too worried about it, just pointing it out.
Yeah, I think Sammy Long also didn't have a very good outing. There's a couple of guys who I think we're expecting to see make the roster that, you know, had small blips. But like you said, for the most part, the starting guys looked really, really solid. Why am I blanking on it now? What's the guy who was our closer at the end of the year?
Duvall,
thank you. So many Latin players on this team. They all know his names just get mixed together. Duvall looked real solid in the short time I saw him. So there's, you know, and a lot of our established relievers, which basically that best bullpen in baseball that we had last year is pretty much back. Completely solid, like, you know, just the same set of guys. Just 1 year more experience in each one of them.
Yeah, they locked in last year at a 2.99 ERA for the bullpen, like basically tops in the bigs. And what's funny is that they started the first, you know, two or three months of the year at like middle of the pack. And it was really the end of the year that they really picked it up. I totally see them doing extremely well at the beginning of the year as opposed to kind of tanking at the beginning of the year. And by the way, Logan Webb was tapped as the opening day starter, which is you know, I don't think to anyone's surprise. I think last year, a year ago, if you said, hey, a year from now, Logan Webb's going to be your opening day starter, you'd be like, what? Like, the guy has really emerged as just a workhorse and an alpha male. Just like, he's the guy you want to give the ball. I mean, he proved it not only down the stretch, but in the playoffs. I mean, he definitely can take the pressure. He has no problems with that.
I think, again, though, that this he's a funny guy because I think as the season goes on, he gets stronger. The way he pitches, the arm action that he gets, he's got so much movement on all of his stuff that it's one of those things. It's like when the arm gets a little more dead, he actually gets more control. And like right now, I don't know if you saw his first appearance. I was like, that ball is snapping and moving all over the friggin' place. And I don't know how you can locate that. Yeah. And you saw he had a little bit of trouble. But like, you know, last year he finished the season so damn strong. And he earned that spot. He earned that spot. He's the guy right now. And someone else will have to prove that they're the actual guy. But I think he's got a really solid next few years in him if he just keeps up the work, which obviously he's going to do.
Yeah, Marcus Stroman, who of course signed with Chicago Cubs, it was revealed this past week that the Giants were very close to signing him. He really was close. He also said that he definitely can see himself playing for the Giants in the future, but he specifically pointed out Logan Webb as a stud and one of his favorite pitchers. And it's like when you hear another starter talk about, you know, a fellow starter, it's like, I mean, that's the best compliment you can get. You know, it's not from a writer or a fan or anyone else. I mean, that's a dude who knows his craft, right? And he recognizes Logan Webb's craft. And, you know, again, like you said, you know, he started the season kind of and then he finished the season incredibly. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out Friday night, honestly, Willie, against the Marlins, who aren't going to do very good things this year, and just lays an egg. And I won't be concerned, to be honest, because he's going to be so overamped. He's going to be like, motherfucker, I'm going to go. And you know, sometimes bad things happen. But, you know, whatever. I think Logan Webb is going to be solid this year. He's such a horse. He's He reminds me a lot of a more vocal Matt Cain. You know what I mean? Like,
he's got the Matt Cain mentality, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's definitely a horse and a bulldog, and so I think he's kind of Matt Cain 2.0. So, all right, well, let's talk about
Cain with some breaking stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
actual Matt Cain. Oh, he had a good curveball, but he was much more a straight fastball location guy.
You know, he was one of my favorite players, and you know. Obviously, I have a personal connection with that, you know, tour and the golf stuff and all that stuff and knowing him really well. But he really was one of those guys where you thought he's gonna pitch till he's 40, you know?
Yeah, I really did think that too. Yeah.
Didn't happen. So it didn't happen. I mean, he should still be on the staff, to be honest. You know, he's 37 right now. I mean, he could be the veteran anchor, you know?
Sure.
Kind of like I think Scherzer might be older than Matt Cain. So, you know, it's one of those things. So whatever. Yeah. Brooks Knitson comes in and says, worried about Webb's workload. He's never gone deep in the innings department. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. But
I think he's also only pitched 3 years in the bigs. And two of those, he was like a baby. It's like every player at some point starts to actually become an established pitcher. He threw 148 innings last year.
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, that's like, you know, most starters are, I mean, obviously when you, cross the 200, that's like your elite status in terms of horse, you know, level. You know, that's 75% of the way.
It's also the thing now that, nobody really goes deep in the innings department,
Well, especially with the Giants. with the Giants. I mean, they just, unfortunately, I mean, obviously playoffs are different. We saw with the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, pulling starters earlier than they should have in the World Series a couple of years ago. Won't talk about that too much anymore. The Giants are definitely conservative during the regular season. That said, in the postseason, they've shown, you know, these guys will go a little bit longer. So I think it's a good strategy, to be honest, especially if the Giants have the bullpen that we expect them to have. Mm-hmm. But they have to have those guys. You know, if a Logan Webb can only go four and he, you know, he's touched up for three and they're like, we have a rested pen. So we're going to take you out now to save you for your next start. And that's where it starts to eat away at those middle relief innings. Right. And that's those guys really needed to perform and step it up. And I know that's what Farhan and company value. So it's proven obviously well, 2.99 ERA last year for the bullpen. It's a weird game because, you know, you look at these guys from, you know, the 50s, 60s, and 70s throwing 300 innings, you know, and like, or even before that in the 20s and 30s, you know, they were winning 30 games. You know, they're pitching way more than that. It's definitely a different game. But I also will say that besides guys like Satchel Paige and others who are throwing clearly over 90 miles an hour, you don't have the specialties that you have today. Everything is so micro-focused into, you know, this managed game of nine innings, but it's not going to be one pitcher who at the end is throwing 88, but he's crafty, right? Because he's saving his energy. I mean, no, we're going to come in with this 22-year-old who throws 98, 99, 101. That's just the way the game is. It's all about velocity and then having a good off-speed to throw the hitter's timing off, and then the shift and everything else, which we know will be banned here soon.
Did they confirm that they're going to ban the shift?
I believe so.
Oh, really? I thought
that. Yeah, I don't think. No, for 2023.
In 2023. Year. Yeah. There's still people are doing it in spring training.
Oh no. This year's the shift is on. 2023. Looks like it's going to be shift, and then also pitch clock. So
you know, we'll I also think. We should probably just ban gloves. Like, gloves make it way too easy to catch the ball. And cleats, like, that makes it so the players can just grip the ground so easily. Like, that's not fair.
We should ban batting gloves.
Gloves. We should ban hats that keep the sun out of your eyes.
They feel secure if they get hit. You know, ban the shin guards.
Yeah, I think just let's take strategy completely out of the game. I just want a pure contest of brute strength. I don't want.
That's why I hate the DH. Anyway, sorry.
Let's ban nerds from baseball because.
No more fantasy baseball. We ban fantasy baseball.
I think in basketball, we should ban blocking we should ban defense in general. I just want to see players dunk, dude, all day.
All-star game rules, right? Just do it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, I know. We're taking it to a ridiculous level.
I just find it funny when it's like strategies evolve and the people are like, I don't like it. I don't like that these people are thinking.
The one thing that's always made me, I guess I almost want to say proud of baseball. Obviously, it's my favorite sport. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that I love all four North American major sports, right? Hockey, football, basketball.
Watch the hell out of some sports.
Hockey is my number four for sure. Very mm-hmm. distant four. But I love football and I love basketball. Football and basketball and even hockey. I mean, the rule changes are all the time, right? It's insane like how many rule changes there are. Baseball's been definitely the most conservative, and I'm a super liberal person politically, but the most conservative sport when it comes to rule changes and equipment and things of that nature. And so for me, I love the legacy of baseball. The fact that let's play with the same set of rules and equipment and dimensions, even though dimensions are the coolest thing about baseball, because how many hockey rinks and football fields can adjust their dimensions, right? No one else can. Mm-hmm. So I love the uniqueness of baseball in that regard, but also the staticness of baseball in terms of their rules. And the last, 5 years or whatever, especially because of the COVID and everything else, has changed baseball so much, so rapidly. I'm not going to be the old guy on the lawn. I love baseball. I will continue to watch it and be within it and all that stuff. I like if you can keep the rules as similar to same as it was 80 years ago, it's easier to compare your contemporaries. You know what I mean? The DH has been around since 1973 when I was born.
I mean, I'm actually going to disagree with you.
That's a long time, right?
I think baseball has changed significantly multiple times. If you look at different eras, it's like a completely different sport, like almost every decade.
Yeah,
you've got like your 60s
or steroids, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, let's talk about like the 60s where like they've changed the mound, and then all of a sudden pitchers were just dominating, right? Lord, let's talk about like
Bob Gibson
and 80s.
Boom.
Yeah. We'll talk about the 70s and 80s where, like you said, the DH was introduced, but also you had AstroTurf suddenly come into the game, and that was like the era of like your 100 base stealers and stuff like that. It was like that was a completely different game, right?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, then you've got your steroid era where suddenly everyone's jacking the ball like 70 home runs. It's ridiculous. And then you've got your current era, which is, like the era of the nerd. This is like, this is like Moneyball has like reached its zenith, right? So, and we could talk about, the right after the turn of the century, like the game was completely different then. I think it's, we went from dead ball era to Babe Ruth. Like the game has changed a lot, I think. Over time. So even though, like you said, like maybe more conservative than other sports, you just can't stop progress.
No.
You know what I mean? It's just going to happen. And
you bring up valid points about the game changing a lot. It has, but like you just pointed out, just not as much as the other sports.
And well, just not like intentionally, but like, it's not like, let's introduce the three-pointer. It's not like they're like, hey, let's introduce the two-run homer with nobody on or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, if you hit the ball over 500 feet, we just give you an extra run. Like, that's, you know what I mean? It's like, there's not that kind of stuff, but it's happened. It has.
Yeah, you hit it out of the stadium.
It's going to happen. I just think.
Three-run home run, yeah.
You know, you're going to be real sad in life. This is
This is that PSA, the more you know.
Yeah, this is just a little bit of advice for everybody. You're going to be real sad in life if you want things to be exactly the way they were when you were a kid or whatever. Because that's just not going to happen, man. I'm sorry. Everybody out there, the world will continue to change and evolve.
All right. So before we get into predictions, Eric and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. But So let me get your thoughts, and you kind of touched on them. But DH, expanded playoffs. Runner on second for the regular season, extra innings.
So, DH, I'm with you that I prefer. I wish that both leagues went to no DH. I think that was just a bad idea from the beginning. I think it's like, it's like what if Shaq got fouled and he was like, well, I'm going to have Kobe shoot my free throws. Like, I'm just not good at it. I don't practice that. You know, it's like, it's just, for me, it's like bizarre that baseball somehow was like, I don't want to watch pitchers hit. I don't want to watch the strategy. I don't want to watch, you know, a bunt situation. I'm also like, I see why the players want it. You get guys get to get more at bats. Guys who wouldn't be in the game get to be in the game still. But again, that's one of the things that bothers me is like, I'm like, you know, we revere like Big Poppy, right? It's like this amazing guy, but it's like, man, if there was no DH, dude, that guy would not have had the career as long as he had.
Totally agree. Agree.
It's like, I feel like you should be a baseball player to play baseball. And you know, he's got like everybody's so specialized. So in that, you know, and I always dislike that American League just has in general less strategy, and I'm hoping that now the National League won't end up in this less strategy era. I like as much strategy in everything as I can get, which is one of the reasons why I like the shift. I think that's smart. If you could move your players around into better spots, what the hell? Why are you telling me I can't do that? Like, remember stories of like, well, I don't remember. Maybe it was Satchel Paige. Like, okay, I want my outfielders to come in. It's like, well, that's illegal, Satchel. It's like, I'm trying to make a classic moment here. He's like, yeah, you can't shift them. Sorry. They all have to stay exactly where they are. Like, I just think in baseball, you're supposed to be allowed to put your nine guys wherever you want. Wherever it makes most sense. So,
well, the one thing, just let me interject here real quick.
Sure.
The one thing that I think is funny about that, right? So baseball is trying to make games shorter.
Yes.
They're talking about the pitch clock, commercials, blah, blah, blah. The irony is that the DH increases the length of games because there's more offense.
Has more offense.
Yeah. Right? Banning of the shift increases the length of games because there will conceivably be more hits, more runners, etc. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't get this. They're like two opposing forces going against each other. They're like, well, we need more offense in baseball for more entertainment and more dollars, but we also need to shorten the game. And it's like, well, Jesus Christ, a 10-8 game is going to be longer than a 2-1 game. What the fuck?
Yep. And, you know, if you really want to shorten the game, like, I don't know, 7 innings. Maybe that's, you know, like, just, that's the only real way to do it.
Just nuke it. Nuke it.
Yeah. How about just 1 inning? Let's just play 1 inning, see what happens, and then we'll all go home.
That's what pisses me off.
I think the whole thing of shortening games is ridiculous. Like, I think a pitch clock is fine. There's definitely a lot of times when you're watching a game, and it's just,
yeah, I'm fine with that.
Standing around doing nothing forever, and you're like, okay, guy, what are you doing? But I don't want to take away the gameplay itself. And now, me and you are huge baseball fans. So even that doesn't bother me. But I understand, like, have you ever talked to somebody and they're like, oh, baseball, that's boring. And you're like, okay. It's because, you know, in between stuff happening, they're not thinking about the game like we are. They're not, like, enjoying the fact that there's, like, downtime and we get to listen to Crook and Kipe talk about a fan or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we love that shit. But, you know, other people without the attention spans that we do for that kind of stuff, I can see it. Anyway, so the other hot take, I guess, that I would have, the expanded playoffs, that's fine. More teams making the playoffs is exciting for people towards the end of the season. I mean, if you think about baseball playoffs as compared to, like, basketball, it's still not that many teams, you know what I mean? But the runner on second, this is one where I feel like I'm just in a huge minority because I've actually come to really enjoy it. And people freaking hate this rule. They hate it so much. And I get it because I hated it too. I hated it at first. And like you said, you're a progressive. Like, I feel like I'm a progressive in life now. I've tried to adopt that kind of stance where I'm like, I'm accepting of things that are different. It's so different that it was jarring, I think, at first, right? It's just like, holy crap, that sounded so insane to me. But after watching a few of the games last season that did go to extra innings, the level of strategy that goes into those innings and how exciting and on the edge it is just gives you some really intense baseball in really short spurts. And, you know, I'll point to that one game against the Angels where it ended up going like 13 innings and it was just on the, you know, just edge of my seat the entire time in all of those extra innings, because any little slip up, any little mistake, that's a run scored. Now, you brought up enjoying a 15 inning game. We definitely all can remember like the 18 inning game, the Brandon Belt home run and
Nationals,
what a special moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What a special moment that was. Those are so few and far in between, though, that I don't think it really matters that much to lose that. You will still potentially get those classics, and once the playoffs roll around and the rule goes away, right? I would like it not to exist in the playoffs. I think that's still something that you know, it's like in hockey,
so,
right?
So,
they don't do
so
a
you,
shootout anymore.
Right. So you agree with it not happening in the playoffs?
Yeah, because I think once you've reached – I think – so it's like regular season games. It's like, yeah, we're all trying to get out of the regular season without hurting ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So it's exactly. Okay to shorten these games like that in the regular season. But I think, yeah, once you get to the playoffs, it's like, okay, no, this matters. Don't give me a fucking free guy on second base anymore. We're trying to really figure out which team deserves this win. And the other thing too is I don't want to have like a bunch of games where, you know, Yusmeiro Petit has to go out and pitch like another start. And you know what I mean? He has to go pitch like seven innings. You know what I mean? I don't want that to happen.
He did that for the Giants. Yep.
Yeah. That's true. You know, and that was a playoff game, by the way. Right. So,
that's the thing. It will still happen in the playoffs. Yeah, potentially.
We can still get it. It's just
I don't give a shit.
I know, right? I don't need to be there. Also, I don't know if you've ever had this. Have you ever had like your buzz wear off in like the 15th inning because you haven't been able to buy beer since the 7th?
Because you can't buy a beer.
That shit sucks, man.
Okay.
That is the worst.
Flipped my opinion.
Yep, that was the dark horse point.
That was it. That's the reasoning. Yep. I can't buy a beer.
A beer for 8 innings? Come on, man.
I have never thought of it that way, Willie. Okay, so here's the thing, though. If I'm there live, that applies. Sure. If I'm at home, it does not. So.
No. And also, I mean, we know how me and you do. It's just, a trip to the parking lot. I'll fix that, you know.
That's true. I've been known to do that. Like, just leave for an inning,
yep.
little tank up, and then come back. Uh-huh, yep. Yeah. I love it, dude.
That's my hot take on that stuff, really. It is funny because the general consensus, everybody fucking hates it. And, you know, again, it's like I'm understanding of why people hate it. But I've come around. I've come around a little bit.
No, it's interesting because, like, literally the age of our three hosts, right? Me and you and Eric, literally correspond to our opinions. Eric is definitely more – he's the youngest, right? But he's not young. He's the youngest. He's like – I want all of it. You're like a little mix, right? In between. Yeah, you're like anti-DH, but you're good with the runner, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like anti-everything, and I'm the oldest. Yeah, yeah, so it's like, I don't know how this works, guys. It just does. Like, I'm not Clint Eastwood, okay? I'm not 70. I'm 48. So, but anyway, I'm still not swearing off baseball. It's all good. All right. Let's get to our prognostications. I'm going to lead off with a bunch of our readers that replied on Facebook and on Twitter. And so the question that we asked was, how many wins for the Giants this year, and what place will they be in the National League West? Now, Vegas, in terms of the odds, has the Giants at 85.5 wins.
Yeah.
And immediately... Now, last year, of course, you know, it was around 73. I predicted 75. So I was always, you know, a little bit above Vegas. They won 107.
Yep.
I don't see how the Giants go from 107 to 86 or 85, right? Like,
lose like a crap ton of people. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Buster Posey doesn't make up 20 games. I'm sorry.
No, hell no. No single player does. And, you know, no trio of players do. I mean, you know, it wasn't like, and also we were winning a lot before Chris Bryant showed up.
Yes.
And we were winning a lot after he showed up. It's like that didn't, dramatically, in, you know, impact, I think, our season win total. So, yeah, it's crazy to me that, but I mean, you look at the team on paper and you go, well, I don't see no Giancarlo Stanton on this team. You know what I mean? And like, that's, I think, why Vegas, you know, they're so conservative.
Every year, where they every year, they're so conservative.
Yeah.
And, which, you know, interesting is that the three of us, and I'll get to that in a second, and our readers actually do have a, I think a reasonable total. So I'm just going to go through this right now because I promised I would read all of their responses.
Okay.
Okay. So from Twitter, we have Ronaldo Purissimo going 90 wins. Better pitching staff will not be an all-time great run-scoring team 2 years in a row. We have at JagJW66, 91 wins, second place. We have Thomas Lang, 18, 95 wins, second place, but getting the wild card. Okay. We have, oops, sorry, just skipped it there. At California Kids 7, 96 wins. 96. Our friend,
woo.
Yeah, 96. At Giants 55, our friend Robert here, who's on Giants Chatter. On paper, they're good, but they're not the Padres. Well, okay, we'll see.
I mean, but the Padres are not really the Padres once the season starts and everybody starts getting hurt, so it's fine.
That's the problem, yeah. We're already starting yeah. with...
Yeah, we're already there. We haven't even started.
We're already there.
Yeah.
We're already there with a major injury, right? So at Chester Chivo, 87 wins, second place, and a wild card. 87? I mean, I think that might be a little bit low, but that's still above 500.
87 might not even be second place. 87 might be third
place. I agree. I think 87 actually would not be second place. I think that's going to be third or worse. So.
Yeah.
At Evan, that's with three N's at the end of Evan, 92 wins, second place.
Okay.
At Jim on base, we have 88 wins. At Caloso, 89, 92 wins, second place. There's our friend back at Giants 55. He says 86 wins, third place.
Wow. So he's literally like, just I'll take the over on the Vegas odds, and that's it.
That's the sad thing. Look at that. That's still an over, right?
Yeah.
So we did not have one submission. So at Giants 55 is our lowest win submission.
Mm-hmm.
It's still over Vegas. So
now
every
these are
single
listeners.
One of our predictions is over Vegas.
These are listeners of our show, so obviously they're homers. Mm-hmm. they're fans.
Yeah, but last year, I was thinking like 76, 75.
We were all saying last year for sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, look, we were all clearly so wrong about what this team was capable of that now, and like, we watched it. We watched it play out. Did Vegas watch every Giants game? No.
We
did not. So we see what this team is capable of with its moving parts, and, you know, they're just wrong, dude. This is a good bet, everybody. Go out, take the over. If you can just take the over.
I think take the over at this point. I mean, that's greater than 50% chance. There's no doubt. I mean, in my mind, but whatever. At Mike Dowling on Facebook right here live, first place, 97 wins.
Let's
the
go,
only question
Mike.
I have, 97 I think is attainable.
Sure.
I don't know if first place will be 97 wins because of the Dodgers. They won 106 last year, guys. One less than the Giants. They just got Freddie Freeman. Let's try to be realistic. I mean, we thought the Dodgers are going to beat the Giants last year. Obviously, the Giants beat the Dodgers with an insane year. The most wins ever in franchise history. So you cannot expect the Giants can exceed that. You can't. Mm-hmm. But that's the second time the Giants or the Dodgers hit 106 wins in the last 8 years. So, I mean, come on. Let's just say realistically, Dodgers are going to get the NL West.
I think the Dodgers get to 100, no problem. Like, that's just.
Oh, yeah.
Almost
exactly. I think 100 wins is a lock for the Dodgers. I think 90-something is a lock for the Giants.
I will say, though, they lost Jansen. And
to Atlanta, ironically.
Right. They just swapped those guys. And what's his face? Kimbrel. looked awful against the Giants.
Yeah. Oh, he was tanked. Yeah, he was tanked. So
he's not the answer, I don't think, unless, you know, that was just him, you know, trying some stuff out or whatever. But he was hanging sliders all over the place against the Giants. So that, you know, if they have a closer question mark, that could be fun for us. That could cause a little wrench in the works there. But
no, I hope. Yeah. So to finish off Twitter, at Caleb Fitz 77 said 90 wins and second place. From Facebook, we have Bob Granger, 93 wins and first wild card spot. We have Daniel Roxar, 93 wins, second placed. And we have Michael Davis, first place NL West, 102 wins, World Series champions.
Whoa, let's go. That's the
I'll
guy.
Take that.
That's
also from Facebook, we have Mike Aldred, 92, good enough to take first. I disagree with that. I mean, I agree with 92.
Sure.
I disagree with taking first.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are not going to win less than 92.
We have to remember the division we're in, guys.
Yeah. Martin Banks, 86, finishing second in the division. Hope I'm wrong, though. Anders Lego Hoff, 92 wins and second place. And then Arena Marie Castillo says lots. So lots of wins.
All right, let's go.
Anyway, we have a few more there. But that'll do it for our reader prognostications. But let's talk about what we think. Willie, you want to lead it off?
Sure. So my predictions, I was the most optimistic out of the three of us, it looks like. 94. Now, I wasn't optimistic about that being enough for first place. I did think second place. I think we will be above the Padres, but I think the Dodgers, like I said, 100 wins feels very realistic for them. But I think we do outpace the Padres. I think the Padres end up, you know, something like 88, 89, maybe even 90, something like that. I think, again, they struggle down the stretch.
Yeah, Eric, the absent Eric, he's moving today. So he also went with second place. He thought 93 wins. He does think they're going to make the wild card.
Oh, yeah, and I said wild card. Yes.
Yeah, you did too. I also think the wild card, I mean, the Dodgers won 8 National League West titles in a row, right? They lost last year, matching their franchise best 106 wins and got second by 1 game. The Giants are not going to win 107 games, guys. It's just, it's not going to happen. That is such, that's their all-time franchise record, right? So you cannot expect it to be more than that. So I do think they're going to win 92, but that will be best for second. I hope the Padres, you know, obviously don't win more than that. I think the Giants will get the wild card.
Yeah.
All right. So we also asked our hosts, let's talk about team leader in home runs, average, wins, and ERA. So I'm hoping that Brandon Belt is actually going to be healthy for 80% of the year, which is a huge ask because that just doesn't happen. So I'm going to Brandon Belt with 22.
Okay. I mean, we all think Belt. I said Belt as well at 30, and Chad said Belt at 31. You know, he had, 29 last year? And he did not get to finish the season, unfortunately, which, that impacted a lot. You know, it's like, I think he's in those prime years right now. And I don't know if you saw the stat, but, like, per at-bat, take away the fact that he misses a lot of time. If you look at just like WAR per at bat, he's like the third best hitter in baseball.
He's great.
Yeah, over the last 6 years or something like that. So you know, if he can play, he's going to get a lot of home runs. I just put the 30 on the dot. He could very well have like a 40 home run year if he gets to play all the games.
Oh, right? I think he could. Yeah, for sure.
But I put the 30 because I just want to see that happen for him so badly. That 29, that was heartbreaking.
One of these days, you know.
Yeah. I don't know how many days he's got left, though. That's the thing. It's like I said, these are like the prime years, but it falls off quickly after that for a lot of guys. Unless he's you know, he's not a guy who just is always healthy. So I feel like, you know, he's one of those guys who like tends to just kind of fall apart when they get to a certain age. So I'd like to see him get that like standout year. And this year would be a good one for it.
Oh, for sure. All right. So what about batting average? What do you think?
Well, you guys both took Belt here. I took Crawford. Crawford proved he could do it for an entire season last year. And I think, you know, keep that same approach this season. I will say he's definitely going to be in different spots in the lineup than he's ever been in his entire career. And the pitches are going to be taken a little more seriously. So that kind of goes against him. My dark horse pick, by the way, here, which we didn't have like a second pick, would be Lamont Wade. I can see Lamont Wade having a good average year.
I can see that too.
Yeah. Again, though, will he stay healthy? I don't know. He's a lot younger, so. But yeah, he would be like my dark horse pick here. But I don't think the Giants are going to have some guy who hits like 320.
No.
Like, it's, yeah, I have Crawford 290 leading the team. So.
That's not how they operate. Yeah.
It's not how the team is anymore. Yeah. We try to hit the long ball now.
I have Brandon Belt at 295, Eric at 298 for Brandon Belt. So, all right, let's talk about team leader in wins. I'll lead this off. I went a little. I know that Logan Webb is probably a fan favorite, but let's be honest. I mean, he's got one good year, right? You know, yes. Or a good three quarters of a year.
One
so
good
we
year,
don't
but
know.
It was last year.
Yeah, we don't know. And same with Carlos Rondon. Same thing. I mean, he has really, you know, one really good year last year. So it's kind of like a battle of those. The Giants have a tendency to improve pitchers, you know? Yes. So I think Rodon, despite his injury history, which is a big concern, I think he's going to lead the team with 14 wins.
Okay. Well, he had 13 last year. So, you know, if you're saying we're going to improve him, then yeah, sure. Give him one more.
There you go. Give him one more.
Yeah. I picked Webb, but I only picked 12 wins because
the way they divide things, right?
Our bullpen gets a lot of wins this year. Yep. I think that's just how it works now. So I think gone are the days, most of them anyway, of guys getting, you know, 24 wins in a season and stuff like that. Like, I just, you know, there's very few guys out there like that.
No, 15 is the new 20 for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think 12 is fine. Like, Webb will pitch very well. He'll have a lot of great games where he does go pretty deep. He's going to have a lot of games where he's out in the fifth, he's out in the fourth, you know what I mean? Just because that's just the way that the team operates. So he's not going to get credited for a lot of wins anymore.
All right. So Eric also thinks Logan Webb, but with 15. So this, you know, little bit higher. He's definitely the highest in terms of number of wins between our hosts, but definitely not an impossibility. Yeah, you could do it, you know, whatever. So team leader in ERA, I went with a little bit of a dark horse here, a guy we're not familiar with, but Alex Cobb, because of his velocity increase, I'm assuming his, you know, injury potential won't manifest itself. And if he doesn't get injured, I think he's going to lead the team in ERA, starter ERA at 3.45.
Okay. That would be his best in a while, if he were able to pull that off. Early in his career, when he was with Tampa, I think he had a couple of low. I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, he had a 276 and a 287 in 2013 and 2014.
Yeah.
But last year, 376. It was an improvement, though. You know, he had 8.59 in 2016. So, yeah. I think that's a solid pick, and he definitely has the potential. Like you said, the Giants tend to, whatever it is that our staff does with these guys, they tend to get the best out of them. So I actually picked Logan Webb here, and I think he's going to go sub 3. I think he's going to be 2.9.
That would be amazing. Oh, my God. I mean, seriously.
I really do think, though, that just the way that we manage our pitching staff, like I said, he's not going to get a lot of wins. But I think he's going to be in good situations a lot of times. I think he'll get taken out the moment that he starts to falter a little bit or the matchups start to change a little bit. It's funny because we talk about, like, back in the day, like, I think there was a game, it was like Marichal and Warren Spahn or something like pitched like 17 innings each against each other, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was like a 1-0 game. You know, it's like, yeah, you don't see that anymore. But what you do see now a lot is like the second time through the lineup is like kind of the last time you see the starter. You know what I mean? You get that second time through, and then once the third time starts to happen, we're not letting the hitters adjust. You know what I mean? It's time to throw a curveball, literally a curveball, maybe, or maybe a slider at that. But it's just a different look. You get a different look in there, which I think is maybe one of the reasons why, you know, our bullpen did so well is all of our guys are different. They're so different from each other. I think about the Padres in, what was it? Was that 2010? When they had like that insane, like three-headed giant of a bullpen. Do you remember this? Where it was like all three guys like threw like 100 miles an hour and you just went 7, 8, 9 with those guys and nobody could ever come back against the Padres.
Yeah, and that's when they bombed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's when they choked. But the Giants don't have that kind of look. We have a lot of guys who just come at you with different stuff. So that's why I think you can play that matchup game so well.
All right, so I'm going with I asked the question of Willie and Eric. You know, any All-Stars or special awards? I went with All-Stars being Logan Webb, Carlos Rondon, Brandon Belt, and Brandon Crawford. I mean, that's a lot. I mean,
4 All-Stars. Let's go.
4 All-Stars is a lot.
Hell yeah,
to ask of the Farhan era. Like, it's just, you know, you'll see teams like the Phillies and the Dodgers and whatever. They'll have like 7 All-Stars, and they're like, well, I mean, the Dodgers obviously do well. But, you know, these are the teams that don't do very well in the playoffs. But, you know, I think that's possible. Eric is thinking Lamont Wade Jr.
Hey, let's go.
And Logan Webb and Brandon Belt. So 3. What are you thinking, Willie?
So I have another – I'd say Lamont Wade is definitely a dark horse pick. I have a dark horse pick in here too that I picked with my heart. Not with my brain, with my heart. but I got Belt and Webb as kind of the two guys I think are closest to locks to get in. A lot of this depends on how well the Giants are doing.
Well, we all agree with that. All 3 of our hosts agree with Webb and Belt.
But I, you know, a lot of this depends on how well we were doing as a team around this time of year.
Yeah.
But my dark horse pick is someone, he just has the potential. It's in there. It's inside. We just need to let it out. Is Yaz, baby. I think Yaz could surprise some folks this year. And I know he hasn't looked great in spring training. And I know the end of last season wasn't that great. But he was a lot more consistent last year than people give him credit for. It's like the recency bias of the fan base online tends to show itself pretty hard when a guy struggles at the end. You know what I mean? So, you know, he's right in that pocket too. Early 30s. This is where, you know, it's like you're kind of in your prime. So I'm hoping Yaz has a breakout season.
Hell yeah. All right. Special awards. I went with Brandon Crawford getting the gold glove, Belt getting the gold glove. That's all I had. Eric had.
Just had Crawford getting the gold glove. I don't think.
Yeah. Crawford. That's it. Yeah. And then Eric had Craw with the gold glove. And then Lamont Wade Jr. finishing in the top 10.
Wow.
Of the MVP race. Look, that maybe is a bold hot take.
Yeah, dude, I love it. I mean, look, you love to see it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I just it's a lot of growth real quick if it were to happen. But hell, I mean, he's
could be fantastic.
Got the potential. Yeah, the kid's got all the talent in the world for sure. You know, and maybe we just got him at the right time. We were able to get him so cheap, and maybe he just does prove himself to just be, you know, a perennial all-star. That could happen. I don't see why not.
We will take it. All right. So as far as playoff standings, I got to admit, guys, we're pretty boring.
Well, I think there's just legit favorites in every division this year. So really where the nuance comes is in the wild card when you have the 3 wild cards.
Yeah, because, you know, all 3 of us, we've never agreed to this extent ever.
No, no.
But, you know, the National League West, Central, and East, we all agree on.
Yep.
We're saying Dodgers for the West, Milwaukee for the Central, Atlanta for the East. I mean, just like we just totally simpatico there. Whatever.
It's I mean, let's see. I'm gonna look up like what the actual like the what the experts say. But
I don't care about the experts.
They got to be fairly close to what we're saying too, right?
I mean, hope otherwise.
Okay, yeah. Just, so Braves, you know. They got Braves. Oh, Cardinals in the Central. Hey, okay. I mean, I could see it.
And I mean, then, yeah, it's not impossible. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I'm looking at Sporting News. This is just the first one that popped up. They are predicting the Giants at 90-72 to finish second in the NL West.
Okay.
But they're giving the Dodgers 98 wins.
I think the Dodgers are going to win over 100, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's all good. All right, so we got NL wild cards. Now, this is where we differ a little bit. Now, the first two wild cards were all identical.
Yeah.
San Francisco and San Diego.
Let's go.
Now, myself and Willie think the Mets will be the third wild card. Mm-hmm. Eric thinks Philadelphia.
Really?
The Phillies.
Okay. Yeah.
So
That's tough because you're talking they're all in the East. The East has got the Braves. I don't know. I mean, look, I'm talking about us being in the West, and we got the Dodgers. So
yeah, exactly.
Getting a lot of wins is hard when you're not that team. But okay, that's an interesting call. Interesting call for sure.
Yeah, but we got like lots of stuff going on here. All right, so the AL West. Myself and Willie have Houston. Eric has the Angels. I mean, look. I'm not trying to shit on Eric, but like the Angels, like there's always like, oh, the Angels with Shohei and Trout and everything. It just never manifests. Like not even close. Not like, oh, they just missed it by two wins. No, they just suck. And I'm sorry. The Angels are just going to like bomb this year. I don't have them in my wild card either. So.
Yeah. I mean, were they even a 500 team last year? I'm trying to remember now.
No.
Like, yeah, right. So that's very strange. I mean, okay, yeah. I guess you get a full season out of Trout, then lots of things can happen. You get the Shohei Ohtani rule now, so when he DHs and pitches, he gets to stay in as a DH.
He does.
But yeah, still, I mean, it's like this is like they're like the proof that like you can't build around like one or two superstars. You really have to diversify your bonds these days. You know what I mean? So. I qualify that as a hot take. I think the Astros are just, I mean, yes, they lost Correa, but I mean, have you seen the Astros?
Yeah.
Have you watched them? they rake. So yeah, they're hard to beat.
All right. So the AL Central, we all agreed with the White Sox, and also the East, we all agreed, East, we agreed with Toronto. So as far as the wild card, I went with Tampa Bay, Boston, and Houston. Eric went with Boston, Minnesota.
Hold on, though.
Houston.
You have Houston winning the division and making the wild card? I mean, they're good, but they're not that good.
Oh, I might have made a mistake. I might have made a mistake in my picks.
I think that's a tough prediction to come true.
That would be hard.
I have Boston taking the first wild card, Minnesota taking the second one, and the Yankees sneaking in as the third wild card. I think the big question mark with the Yankees is can those guys stay healthy? But like they got monsters on that team. So if they do, I think that they make that third spot. Which apparently I'm the only okay. Heads on board. Let's go.
I'm on board. I mean, Vegas has them on board, too. So, yeah, New York Yankees as the third wild card for my pick. Eric with Houston, Minnesota, and Boston as the wild cards. Toronto is the East. Chicago Central, L.A. Angels as the West. So, I mean, a lot of interesting picks. That's for sure.
Yeah, I do think that every division has a clear-cut favorite this season. So a lot of that's going to kind of play out as expected, I think. But there is some wiggle room in that wild card. And with three wild card teams, you know, it's like there's going to be a lot of exciting races down the stretch. It's going to be fun for everybody this year. I do think that's a good change. You know, it's I get why, like, some people are against it. I mean, you talked about being conservative. I mean, there was a long period of time there where just one team in the National League, one team in the American League went to the World Series, and that was it. You know what I mean? which is one of the reasons why, you know, the Willie Mays era, like, he only got to win that one World Series. Because he just didn't get in very much. You know, it was really hard. So I like seeing a little more blow in the playoffs. I like more games. And I like my team having a better chance, for sure.
Hell yeah. Holy crap, dude. Like, the season's starting this Friday. This is amazing. So
Are you going into games early on? I mean, I started at home, so.
Yeah, I'm going to be going to the game. I mean, if they approve me for a Monday against the Padres, that will be game number 4 for the Giants.
Very nice. Yeah. I actually have confirmed that I have a Friday morning shift, which for me means that I will get off in time to watch the opening day. So that's very exciting for me. I hate missing opening day, and I'm not going to.
I know.
Obviously, I'll be in Austin, so no chance to go to the game. But I'm hoping at some point this season I will make it down to the city and get to hang out in the press box with you. So should be happy.
Wait, when is that? When?
I don't have anything planned yet, but I've been talking to my mom about making a trip down there. So
okay.
So hopefully it'll happen. I will let you know as soon as
it has got to happen, because they've already approved, like, going into the clubhouse now with Vax.
Yes.
So we're good. So we'll see where that happens. You know. So I'm gonna try to go on Monday. We'll see if I get approved for that. But until then, you can follow us at ChadK21 for myself, at TOItHits for Eric, at Willie Dills for Willie. Of course, collectively at TortureCast. You can also like us at TortureCast on Facebook. Email us at TortureCast@gmail.com. That's about it for episode 247. Oh my gosh, our season preview 2022. This is season 12, Willie. What have you started?
Longest podcast I've ever been a part of.
Like, this is insane, dude. Like, I know exactly. Like, I've never been a part of a podcast this long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not millionaires. Anyway. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, for myself, for Eric at 2OutHits, that's with the number 2, for at Willie Dills. This is Chad King signing off episode 247. We'll see you next week for episode 248 when the Giants are 3-0. We'll talk to you then. A boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.